Well, I was looking back through some files, and I like to talk about Mother's Day just a little bit. And I was looking back, and I noticed that I've never really talked about Mary, Jesus' mother. And so I wanted to do that this morning, you know, in your hearing, so that you can see a little bit about this wonderful lady. And what might surprise you in that culture is that mothers and women, young ladies, were married at a very early age. And it's probably true that Mary was probably in her teens when she became pregnant with this unusual birth. I want to take you with you in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 and notice several scriptures here in Luke 1, 30, 31, and 38. So notice these scriptures, and we'll be getting back in just a few minutes to Matthew chapter 1, which was the verse Ryan read a couple of minutes ago. The angel said to her, the angel, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor or grace with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Incidentally, in verse 32, he, the son that you bear, he will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High God of Israel. And he will be given the throne of his father David. So you see a little of the lineage there, not only with Mary, but the lineage of Jesus coming from the household of his father David. Now as you're going down and you read verse 38, here's what we notice. Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I want you to notice that Mary was a peasant. Mary was a maidservant. Mary was not what we would refer to as up in the chips, if you will, from an economic background. And we're more familiar with Matthew 1, 18 through 25, probably, than we are Luke chapter 1, because it gives us not only the lineage of Jesus in the first 17 verses and the four or five women that are listed there, but it just goes into specifics, speaking about Mary, who did not know Joseph. I know we got some young ears in the room today, and you know, you can, as parents, go home and explain this to them, but Mary and Joseph had not had a sexual union. Mary was conceived in her womb through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what makes that just a little more special. You know, having said that, it kind of reminds me of the story, and you know, mothers hear anything and everything from their children. Kind of reminds me of the story of the little girl. She was 7 years old. She was in second grade. She came home and her mother asked her, like all good mothers do, said, how was school today? And this little girl just blurted out, well, we learned where babies come from. And her mother said, okay. She thought to herself, she's seven. She's in second grade. And she let that pass for just a moment. And the daughter explained to her, said, Mom, here's what we learned. The teacher said you drop the Y and you put the I and you put E-S on the end. That's where babies come from. So it made a whole lot more sense when her mother got the explanation. So you'll get it on the way home, I promise you. Right now your minds are just all warped and everything, but you'll get that on the way home. And if you don't get it on the way home, I'll explain it to you later. All right. I want to give three incorrect thoughts concerning Mary that are out there. And these are important because sometimes when you want to learn what something is, you learn what it is not. And here are three things about Mary that are not right. Number one, she was not the mother of God. In John 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Mary was not the mother of God. Number two, according to Acts 1 verse 14, she was not to be exalted above other women. When you look at Acts 1, 9 through 11, and it talks about Jesus ascending back to be at the right hand of the glory of God, we read in this verse where Mary was mentioned among other women and other people in Acts 1 and verse 14. And then here's a huge misconception about Mary. She was not a perpetual virgin. And sometimes you see statues of that And you know, people go to high schools and grade schools, and it's the perpetual Virgin Mary, and you know that's incorrect according to the biblical teaching of Matthew chapter 13, because in this chapter of Matthew chapter 13, it is referred to that Jesus had siblings. You know, a lot of people don't know this information, and so it's important to get that information out. Look at verse 53 and following. It came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. But he came to his own country, which was Nazareth. He taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom from these mighty works?" And look at how they referred to him, kind of in a down way. "Is this not the carpenter's son? Don't we know his mother, who's called Mary?" Watch this. "And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters..." Verse 56, "Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they were offended at Jesus. They were offended at him. And said to Jesus, or Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. And in Nazareth, he could do not many, many works because of their unbelief." So it's important for us to realize when we talk about Mary as a mother, you know, we have to learn these three things. She was not the mother of God. Mary was not exalted above other women. And Mary was not a perpetual virgin. All right, having said that, let's look at what Jesus thought of his mother. And much of this is found in Luke chapter 2. I like Luke chapter 2 because it really tells about the adolescence of Jesus. You know, we don't have a whole lot of information about Jesus. The Holy Spirit didn't give us that. But we do know in Acts 2 and 51, the scripture says that Jesus was in subjection or in submission to his parents. I think that's important to remember. That Jesus, here's the Son of God, here's the King of Kings, here's the Lord of Lords, here's Jesus in the flesh, in the sarks, here's Jesus in the flesh, and the Bible says he was in subjection to Mary his mother and to Joseph his father. You know, that really reminds us of today. You know, that young people today, that children and adolescents and teenagers, that they are in subjection or in submission to those who are over them in that physical house. I really like 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And one of the things that a mother can do, a mother can talk to a daughter and explain to her some very powerful principles. And here's one of those principles in 1 Peter chapter 3. "Do not let the adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing the gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very present in the sight of God." You know, some of you might be thinking, "Well, I didn't raise girls, I raised boys." But it can tell your boys how they need to look at the female gender. I want to share with you something that has come from probably the most famous Kentuckian. You know, you might be thinking that the most famous Kentuckian was Matt Bevin or Steve Beshear or Tom Hall or... But, I'm sorry, I didn't, that last one slipped out. I'm sorry. But the most famous Kentuckian of all is Muhammad Ali. Did you know that? He is the most famous Kentuckian. I want to tell you what he said. And this is powerful. And this comes out of his book, More Than a Hero, Muhammad Ali's Life Lessons Presented by His Daughters. All right, listen to what Ali said. He encountered his daughters on one occasion in less than appropriate clothing. Mr. Ali then taught his daughters a very valuable lesson about their worth as a person. Here are the words as recounted by one of his daughters. "When we finally arrived, the chauffeur escorted my younger sister, Layla, and me up to my father's suite. As usual, Dad was hiding behind the door waiting to scare us. We exchanged many hugs and kisses as we possibly could give in one day. My father took a good look at each one of us. He then set me down on his lap and he said something I will never forget. He looked me straight in the eyes and he said, Hannah, everything that God made valuable in the world is covered and it's hard to get to. Where do you find diamonds? Deep down in the ground, covered and protected. Where do you find pearls? Deep down at the bottom of the ocean, covered up and protected in a beautiful shell. Where do you find gold? Way down in the mine, covered with layers and layers of rock. You have to work hard to get to them. She said, Dad looked at me with those serious eyes and he said, your body is sacred and you should be covered too. Mothers have a powerful opportunity to teach their young ladies how to present themselves in the day and time in which we live. Jesus did not ever exalt his mother above other women. But I want to tell you what Jesus did do. It's in John 19, 26 and 27. And here is Jesus. He's on the cross. He's suspended between heaven and earth. He's getting ready to say his final sayings from the cross. One of those final things that Jesus ever said from the cross was, he looked down and guess who he saw there? He saw his mother. And you know what he said to one of his close friends and advisors? Comrades, John. He said, John, I want you to take care of my mother. And Jesus said these three words on the cross, about ready to die. You got your seatbelt on? Behold, my mother. Before he died, he wanted to acknowledge the lady who carried him and took care of him through his childhood, his adolescence, and his teen years. Well, that tells me that the focus of Mary was to be more concerned about Jesus in a spiritual way than she ever did in a physical way. And Jesus knew that he had great authority. And his mother understood that that authority was transferred to Jesus. I want to give you an example of that in John 2 and verse 5. You remember that they had gone to a wedding feast and they ran out of table drink. And the table drink at that time was wine. Now, automatically people think, well, you know what? Then they had wine. I can just do all... They had wine because their water was impure a lot of times. And so it was a very, 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 very strong concept in Scripture. As you go back and look at the Word, that it was extremely diluted and it became a table drink in many of the feasts. And when they ran out, Mary said to the servants, she said, whatever he asks you to do, you need to do it. And that tells me Jesus had understood in his teaching when he was around his mother that Mary understood that Jesus had tremendous authority and power. And here's what she did in her life. And just read it. Luke 1, Mark, Matthew 1, just read it. Mary always stayed in the background and she allowed Jesus to blossom and come into the forefront because she knew in her heart that he had a tremendous mission, goal, and purpose in front of him. I like Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. And Hebrews 5 and verse 9 goes on to talk about the physical, mental, and emotional side of Jesus' life. And here's what it says. And having been made perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. And the preceding verse in verse 7. In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. You know, I realize today that in a group like this, that there are those who say, you know, Mother's Day just doesn't mean a whole lot to me because I didn't have a good relationship with my mother. I've counseled people and talked to people and said I just cringe every time Mother's Day comes. And the same is true on Father's Day. A lot of people have those situations going on. But I want you to think about a way that you can, you know, overcome that. And that you can be the mother that your mother wasn't. Today's going to be a hard day for a lot of people. It certainly is for me, having lost my mother about 15 years ago. But you know what? I still celebrate today because Tina's the mother of my children. I still celebrate that today. And they were blessed with a wonderful, good mother. And I'm thankful for that. And so that's one of the reasons why I celebrate Mother's Day the way that I do. It'll be a sad day for a lot of people. I tell you what, it's going to be a sad day for Loretta Simpson. They were here in Bible class. Just before worship, Carrie came up to me and said, Loretta's mother died about 10 o'clock this morning. She'll always remember that. Always. That today was the day, Mother's Day, that my mother died. I hope you'll pray for the Effie Johnson family today in your prayers. And for Loretta especially and Carrie as they experience that loss on Mother's Day. But take the opportunity today to celebrate it and to be thankful for these wonderful women that have been part of our life. Let me close today by saying this about Mary. Two things. Mary was a wonderful woman. And number two, Mary was a great mother. Having said that, let me toss my final slide up here this morning on Mother's Day to do this. Ladies, you don't always have to be a mother to be a great woman. You don't always have to be a mother to be a great woman. So I want you to think about that. Some of you chose never to have children, you are not less than important to God and special to God. You can still be a godly influence in the lives of many, many people. Grab your songbook. Thank you for your tremendous attention today. And I truly do hope that you have a great day of celebration today. As a matter of fact, one of the things we're going to do tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to talk about another one of the three most important words in the world. I think they're mother, home, and tonight at 6 o'clock, heaven. Don't you want to go to heaven with your mother? And be united with your mother someday. That's my goal. I had a great, great mother. And I want to be reunited with her someday. Now, how can I do that? Well, she was a faithful Christian. She believed in Jesus as the Son of God. She changed her life. She verbally got in front of a group of people and said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. She was taken back into a place similar to this where there was enough water to immerse her. And she was covered by the blood of Jesus because of the sins she had committed. And she rose up to live a faithful life as a wonderful mother and a wonderful Christian lady. If I live my life like that too, I can have that reuniting with her when death claims my physical body. I know you want that promise. I know you do. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, I'm not the example I need to be as that female, as that mother, as that woman, as that wife, as that influence, you can really turn a page. And this will be a Mother's Day you'll never forget when you made the decision today that you were going to be faithful to God in your family. We're here and we care. Brian, let's stand together and sing our song.